Welcome to Floating NFT Podcast. My name is Xiao Wen. I'm your host, and today we have our co-host Noah here drinking tea with me.
Hi, I'm Noah.
Hi, Noah. And today we are going to drink a Baozhong Oolong tea from Nangang area.
What do we call this tea on the website? Do you remember?
Yeah, I don't do the website work anymore. Which you guys should feel it's actually better. Because I never update the information. Well, how do we call this tea? Smooth water Baozhong. It's pretty good, huh?
Pretty good.
Even though I don't work on the website, I'm still paying attention to what's going on here.
Wow.
Yeah. So Nangang is just like, it's actually a part of Taipei now. And it's the birthplace of Baozhong tea. But I think the growing area is, can you use the word dwindling?
Dwindling, yeah.
Dwindling,
good,
I think.
Because
Nangang got developed into Taipei, and so now a lot of, I think a little bit less places are growing Baozhong tea. And in reverse, Pinning area is holding up really strong when it comes to Baozhong tea. So nowadays, if you buy Baozhong tea and you hear about Baozhong tea, you are more familiar with the name Pinling.
Or Wenshan Baozhong.
Or Wenshan Baozhong. Wenshan is the district and Pinling is the area that grow your most, I guess, popular Baozhong teas. And we have been carrying Pinning Baozhong since 2005 with our delightful farmer Chen. And I love that guy.
Farmer Chen, one sway.
And I will continue to buy his tea for as long as he is growing tea. But I do want to expand our Baozhong line up to, you know, other areas for our audience to, you know, kind of taste the differences. And it's just not about, it's not just Baozhong that I'm doing this. I would like to do that in high mountain oolong, maybe find a little bit more, something a bit richer maybe for our high mountain oolong lineup, and then try to find more organically grown teas. That's also, it's one of my goals in my tea journey with you guys. But anyway, let's come back to the Nangang Baozhong tea.
Before we get too into it, let's drink the first infusion.
Yeah, sure.
Here you are, ma'am.
Thank you, sir. Mm-hmm. So the first infusion, I am just smelling the surface smell from the tea broth. And it's not as bright as the Pinning Baozhong tea that we usually get.
The texture of the scent is more plump than the Wenshan Baozhong.
Oh.
More softer and rounder.
Mm. The texture of the scent. Mm. Go figure that out. It's actually quite an interesting subject. Mm. And yet the scent itself is not as bright as the Pinning Baozhong tea. Also, it smells more like a plant. I won't call this grassy though, because it's not that when sometimes we describe tea plant, people will think, oh, it's grassy, then it's like a green tea. No, no, no. It's like a dry up herb, but it's not from the root. It's from a leaf. A dry up herbal leaf.
I had someone describe to me once that kind of planty, not vegetative, but planty feeling as agricultural. A very interesting way to say that.
Agricultural. The smell. The broth is very smooth. Mm. Good description. Smooth water Baozhong. Yeah, very balanced. The aftertaste, you just have to pay attention to it. It's there. But you will not stand up right in front of you and say, hey, look at me. I'm the aftertaste. It's just layer and it's really nice. Mm. But it's not big. Let me put it this way.
Mm. It's not an in-your-face tea.
And the broth reached to the throat actually really well. Mm. Reach into the body also really well for a Baozhong tea. But I would say it's a quiet tea though. It's a quiet tea. Mm. A number of you guys already write to us to ask me how do I compare this one to the previous Nangan Baozhong. That previous Nangan Baozhong, I bought it a year ago. And we sold out of it fairly fast. And so I don't have memory. I don't have memory of that tea. So I don't know what to say. And I was very honest to tell you guys whoever wrote me a message or email. I don't remember. I used to keep track of my tea so well. And now I actually lost the capacity. I am getting older.
Well, there's one thing you can say. There's also a quiet tea. Both of them are more quiet teas. Mm. I remember because when people were used to drinking competition style Baozhong and then they tried, last year I called it old school, which I got rid of the name because it reminded me too much of old school hip hop and it doesn't feel like that at all. The number one, I don't know if I should call it a critique or comment about this tea in comparison to the Wenshan Baozhong, was that I think I need to spend more time with it. It was not as obvious of a tea for enough people that tried the tea. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And in that respect, they have that they both have that quietness to the tea and that smoothness.
Mm-hmm. And it is a Baozhong that you need to sit with it. And if you guys know me enough, I actually really like teas like that too, have a very specific quiet quality sometimes from a tea. I don't know if you remember, maybe last year I had a High Mountain Oolong He Huan San, and I absolutely adore it because I feel like when I drank the tea, I was sitting on a lake in a tiny small boat and there was no wind on the lake. Mm. And I know a lot of you guys comment that I don't like the tea. It's too quiet. Mm. Exactly. It's too quiet. And I just love that feeling sitting in a boat. There's stillness. And so this I will say is not I don't feel like I'm sitting in a boat with this tea. But it is quieter tea compared to our other Pinyin Baozhongs, just to let you know that. So it's fun to compare different feelings from different regions. And if you don't like it, I don't take it personal. We just have different preferences, you know. And as we are talking for this long time between infusions, that I can still feel the aftertaste.
You can feel
the aftertaste. So this tea, I will really, you know, encourage you to sit with it and feel the tea. The presence is actually there and in a really quiet way.
It's a really good way to study texture.
Mm. You are so wise, Noah.
Making me blush.
It's okay. When a teacher praises you, you should blush. Mm. I'm Noah's tea teacher. Mm. And we are very serious with our teas here, and we also goof a lot with our teas here. Mm. And now we are drinking the second infusion. Actually, the throat sensation is quite clear from this tea. And the broth is really smooth and balanced, but it's still very quiet. beautifully quiet. If you like your Baozhong tea have that flower bouquet, I will say this is not a tea, but try it out, you know, small quantity and to see how you feel about it. The broth the broth does have a taste, though. It's that grass that I was talking about, that plant, that leaf I was talking about.
And there's a bit of a floral essence in there,
mm-hmm.
in the scent.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. Mm-hmm. But it's actually very, it's placed very prettily.
Mm-hmm.
It's placed in a very pretty way in the tea.
Mm-hmm. And you will show up in an aftertaste, actually. Mm. That mild flower bouquet actually show up in the aftertaste right now. Mm. But in a quiet way, by the way. Not your, like gardenia or something like that.
And I'm bringing the tea, looking at the tea, it's almost like a golden jade color. It's got that nice, just slight green, almost becoming turquoise kind of green color.
Mm.
Very clear, too. It's a good tea. Maybe you should talk a little bit about when you met a Nangang Baozhong farmer for the first time.
It was so much fun. I love buying tea in Taiwan. I think sometimes, since they are not, so let me put it this way. Taiwan is actually quite progressive, and I never feel like I was suppressed as a female buyer, let me put it this way. And also it has something to do with my family. I mean my family didn't really endorse me as a girl, but didn't really despise me as a girl either. sometimes not just Chinese culture, like they do like a boy, because boys can carry the family name, and family name is a very important thing, and probably I shouldn't be talking about this anyway.
I keep going.
But I just feel like I was never suppressed as a girl and as a female buyer. I just feel I love to watch people. Even here, I like to watch what people say. I guess I would say I like to listen to what people say and watch people's body language. So when I went back to buy tea in the earlier years, I did notice that they were a little bit not as comfortable with me because I was a woman. Because the people who were doing business up front to deal with business is actually men, like the husband, the business owners, the farmers and stuff. And then you just watch all the wives behind the scene, super strong and smart women. I think without them, those farmers and the business owners wouldn't get really far. I mean, they have no idea, like with the, in a way, and it's not a stereotype, okay? Don't make me wrong. And then to see what I really endorse and stuff. I actually love to deal business with men, and I won't get much further than this. And I love to watch the differences between a man and a woman and how they do their work. I absolutely love it. And so when I see their discomfort, I never took things personal. I don't feel like they see me as a lower, party. I just feel like, oh, okay, they are not comfortable with me because they don't know how to deal business with a female buyer. That's fine, After a few years, they'll get used to me. And also, I was in a tea scene. I was on the younger side. When I started business, I was like, I don't even know how old I was. Like 30 something, maybe. So now you guys can guess like how old I am, huh? So anyway, I was on the younger side to the tea scene in Taiwan. And I just love that in like a tea place, and then I met a wonderful, generous wholesale tea vendor. And there was just that place would just have so many people coming in each day, especially when it's tea season. And like all the guys who came in is like 45-year-old, 60, even 70-year-old tea business people, you know. And of course, when they saw me, the tea wholesale friend will introduce me and say, "This is Miss Thai. You know, this is Miss Thai. She's Taiwanese, but she live in Seattle doing tea business now." And they would just look at me. And some of them, if you know Chinese culture, they are brutally reserved in their own way, and they are brutally straightforward in certain areas.
Straightforward, yeah.
Like straightforward is that, are you married? Why are you not married? How much money do you make a month? Wow. Okay. I mean, I'm used to it. I grew up in that environment. I never felt really offended. Like, why are you asking me this? I know it just laughs at, first I share with my ex-husband, and so they don't need to ask that. And then they just ask, "Do you have a kid?" "Oh, why not?" And then later I got divorced. Why did you guys divorce? You know, and so later I actually show up to buy tea by myself without my ex-husband because we divorced. And then, we are good friends, by the way, and he's one of our fabulous tea buyers in Taiwan right now. But anyway, you know, like they will feel like, some of them just feel like they have something to teach me, which I also actually like it. I love to learn about tea in Taiwan. So some of the old guys who show up were just like, "Oh, you are into tea. You know nothing about tea." And I just smile at them. I say, "Yeah, that's true. Would you please teach me?" And so anyway, when I met this Nangang Baozhong farmer, he delivered a few boxes of tea to my tea vendor friend. And I was like, "Oh, wow, you are from Nangang. That's the birthplace of Baozhong tea, you know. How do you feel about this? You know, I normally buy Pinyin Baozhong." And he just looked at me and said, "Why are you drinking Pinyin Baozhong? It's so stinky." and then he has like some small brochures about Nangang Baozhong, and I had a friend with me, and he gave a copy to my friend, and I said, "Can I have a copy too? I want to read about what you guys say about Nangang Baozhong." And he gave me one that is actually in Japanese. I said, "Mister, I don't read Japanese." And he's like, "Ah, it's okay. Just look at it. And then I was like, "Well, since you said Pinyin Baozhong is not as fragrant as your Nangang Baozhong, can you please teach me how?" And then he actually had some tea in his hands. I said, "Can I drink your tea, please? And you can teach me about it." He's like, yeah. And then he's like, "Mr. Huan," which is my tea friend who owned that space actually, brew my tea for this lady. She have to drink Nangang Baozhong." and then he's like, I was like, "Well, can I learn further? Mr. Huan, do you have a Pinyin Baozhong here? Can we compare them side by side?" And then he was, my friend said, "Oh yeah, I do." And so we were having like 3 to 4 cups of tea. And then one was actually this Nangang Baozhong's farmer's competition tea, and he actually won a grand winner and first place, but he didn't tell me which cup is which cup. And the further I was drinking the tea, I was able to understand what he was saying on the broth. But the Pinyin Baozhong was more direct and really upfront, so you will feel that bouquet, that beautiful bouquet. And of course, from time to time, the Nangang Baozhong said, "That's not bouquet." I said, okay. And we just did a grandpa style tea. We basically soak the tea in a cup and keep filling hot water, and with a soup spoon to scoop out the broth. And so the tea actually was soaked for quite a long time. And Nangang Baozhong start to stand out through soaking, like how well it can be soaked. And I was really amazed to uh, to discover that the differences between these two regions. And I'm not saying that these two regional teas are exactly like this, okay? I'm not trying to tell you that Pinyin Baozhong cannot be sok and Nangang Baozhong can be sok, okay? I'm telling you that phenomenon, that experience that day, why the Nangang farmer was so proud of his tea, because I think he knew his tea can, you know, can hold up to soaking, long period of time of soaking. The bouquet will, whatever his take on bouquet will carry through for quite a long time, and he was very proud of it. And you can see his big smile on his face. He was just so proud of his tea, and I was really delighted to see that, and to see a farmer, any farmer that is so proud of his or her work. It's just the tea that on the table that day, he did show that his tea stands out. Nowadays I won't say any tea is good or bad. It all depends on who made it. Okay, that will be my take on any regional teas, and if a tea is good or bad, it really just depends on who you find. You know, there's always good tea in any single region. But anyway, and in the end of the tasting, because I noticed that the tea that he put in there, one is a first place and one is a grand winner. And I say, if I'm the judge, I'm going to pick this cup as a grand winner and this cup as a first place. Just my humble opinion. And he just looked at me in my eyes. He said, I like you. I agree with you. But do you know the result is actually reverse? And the farmer said, I think they are wrong. I said, oh, wow. Thank you so much. He's like, you do have potential, you know, young lady. And you should buy some Nangang Baozhong. And I was like, yes, sir. And so I did buy some of his Nangang Baozhong. And it was actually one of the best Baozhong I have ever drunk in my tea journey. And I want to continue to find that kind of Baozhong that the broth is so smooth and it hold on for such a long time. Yeah, that was the story of my Nangang Baozhong encounter. So you soaked that for a long time, huh?
Probably a pretty long time. The last one I soaked for a super long time. Probably like at least three to 5 minutes.
What?
Altogether, yeah. Because I slowly poured it out.
Oh.
Yeah. This so tea's really sturdy.
This tea is quiet, and yet it can be brewed for a very long time. Yeah. We do Kung Fu style tea with this tea, and then some Kung Fu style tea, you can do it for 35 seconds. Some you can push it up to a minute, and I think this one, just whatever.
Whatever you want to do, yeah. You can brew it really light, and it's super refreshing. If you brew it strong, it's still refreshing. It's a refreshing tea, but mm-hmm. you can get a lot more. That juiciness will mm-hmm. really kind of thicken up the stronger you brew it. Mm-hmm. And, but I do brew this tea super, super strong. Mm-hmm. Use super hot water, a lot of leaves. I probably could have used more leaves this time. I probably used, I don't know, maybe 5 grams in roughly 125 milliliters. Maybe 6 grams. Not as strong as the Tie Guanyin. Because it's such a more fluffy tea. Next time I'll try stronger even. The other day I brewed Hong Shui. And I was craving for espresso that morning. And I brewed it really strong. And I thought, wow, I don't even need to drink espresso. I could just drink this really, really strong. It tastes awesome. Those flexible teas can be very, very satisfying. Mm-hmm. On to infusion. What is this? Infusion 5? I think so.
Really?
Maybe 4.
Yeah, we don't remember how many.
Definitely drank it at least 3 times already. So it's yeah. Minimum 4, maybe 5.
Sometimes in the podcast, I will call it out on purpose, that infusion 1, infusion 2, infusion 3, and kind of see the development of the tea. And today I was more into telling you the story, I guess. And so I lost count of how many infusions we're actually drinking today. And seriously, the last infusion, he brewed it for a very long time. And it's still really smooth. Mm-hmm. No problem.
It has that, still has that agricultural taste. I like that. Good aftertaste, but the aftertaste is pretty much all texture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's actually a texture and a feeling that you will be tasting the aftertaste. There is a little bit flavor and a bouquet, but it just in a really quiet way. Mm. And then the tea, this Baozhong tea, Nangang Baozhong tea, just it shows up like this so far with its presentation. Mm. And I will say, you know, if you are interested, get both of the Baozhongs, one from Pinning and one from Nangang, and just compare it to know the difference without in a way criticize either one of the teas. Both of the farmers are adorable people. I really enjoy, you know, my time with Farmer Chen in Pinning, and what a delightful soul, and his tea is just so beautifully, you know, presented. Mm. And it's just different from this Nangang Baozhong. And so I would say we as tea drinkers, one thing we can learn is to learn their character and not judging them like, oh, then this tea is better than the other one. I don't know why I suddenly changed my voice with my judgment face. So, you know, no matter which style you like Nangang Baozhong better or the Pinning Baozhong better. And there, by the way, there are other Baozhongs there too, like Shiding.
Huh?
Yeah, Shiding is a more limestone mineral feeling. We haven't even ventured out to get the Baozhong from the area yet. And then one time our teacher has a really epic Hongshui from there. Mm. I wish that he would seriously show up again. So there's always more to learn, but whatever Baozhong that you got, whatever Baozhong you like, it's a wonderful summer tea.
Yeah.
It's such a wonderful summer tea. So clean, so light, and so beautiful. You know, and so if you're up to hiking in summertime, this is one of the best teas to carry. And I think it will show really well in the grandpa style in your thermos. You know, just enjoy this tea while you can in summertime. Mm. I just have to be honest with you. I hardly drink this tea in wintertime. It's a bit too light. I will go for my...
Too cooling.
Yeah, too cooling. I go for my Dongding and my Tie Guan Yin, you know. So I hope you guys enjoy listening to this podcast. And we are very happy to have our Nangang Baozhong back on our menu. So try if you can. And happy tea drinking. We'll see you next Monday.
Bye-bye.
Bye.